Washington football. Woo!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Burgundy Zone. I am your host, Kyle, and I am joined by my two co-hosts, Michael Hall and Michael Reed. The Burgundy Zone is a part of the Frederick Podcast Network. You can find out more by going to www.listenfrederick.com, but we are rejoined by the best that NBC Sports Washington has to offer, Mr. Mitchell Tischler. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yes, sir. And everyone that knows you, Mitch, they know you love the big men, and you're a lot like Reed in that aspect. But two guys were
different
added,
reasons, but, yeah.
Two guys were added to this offensive line in the offseason, Andrew Norwell and Trey Turner. Do you think that those were enough of replacements for Brandon Scherff and Eric Flowers leaving?
I think they will be. I think they're both good signings. I think they provide both your two starters along with Wes Schweitzer and the depth that you need. I think the important thing that I don't know that folks have talked about is Chase Roullier is coming back from a pretty major injury as well. Wes Schweitzer filled in nicely at center when he was out. So if Roullier takes a little bit more time than expected or has a setback along the way, you have your two starters in Norwell and Turner, and then Schweitzer can step in at center, and he proved to play there quite well. I think ultimately we know Norwell is going to be a starter over there on the right side, and that the question mark is going to be on the left side. And I think it's going to be fun to see that Trey Turner and Wes Schweitzer battle. And not a lot of people are going to be super excited about a guard battle during training camp. I'm one of them. I'm looking forward to it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another person to throw in there that I'll ask about, because I've heard a few people say that don't count out Sadiq Charles. They say that Sadiq Charles, the versatility that he brings, people really kind of expect him to take another leap. What do you see from him, and do you think he's capable of winning one of those starting guard positions?
I think that there's a lot that the coaching staff likes about him. Right. I think they love his versatility. I mean, we hear position flex all the time, and the fact that he can go out there and play tackle as well as guard helps a lot. And I think when you look at Wes Schweitzer, it's a little bit the same way, guard and center for himself. Do I think he can take one of the starting guard positions? He would have had to take a big step this offseason to take over that job. I think Wes Schweitzer was pretty handily in front of him. That's not to say that, you know, some of the athleticism and strength numbers that Sadiq Charles has shown over his college years and into the pros couldn't help him make that step and be that guy. I'd be surprised if it's him. I think ultimately he's a backup swing tackle slash guard. I think he's you look at, you know, what Wes Schweitzer might be, or Trey Turner, whoever that backup guard is, and Sadiq will be the other guy there. I think he's got a solid spot on this roster. I don't think that's necessarily in question. Mm-hmm. I think a full year of playing mostly guard under his belt in practices and whatever game time he gets, maybe next year, maybe not this season, but the season after that, he might be able to take that step into that starting role, because at that point, Wes Schweitzer is going to be a free agent. Trey Turner's old. They'll need a guard. So maybe this is a situation where he kind of has another year to learn and develop and kind of get there and figure out what's what.
Right. Right. And Coach Rivera came out after the draft and said that they were going to be pretty aggressive and active in that kind of whatever wave you want to number it as in free agency. And it kind of seems that they haven't really been as active as people would thought. Do you see them getting active and maybe picking up guys like a Charles Leno, Bobby McCain that came in, and I think it was around like May or June last year, and were contributors for this team. Do you see them kind of making those moves this offseason?
I don't know that there's been a whole lot of those moves to be made. I mean, I think a couple of the guys who have signed around the league who were kind of in that veteran, you know, Charles Leno, Bobby McCain, those guys were signing big-time deals. Those guys weren't signing kind of the one-year prove-its that those guys – sign when they came on. I think as we kind of get through OTAs and mini camps, I think you'll see, you know, some situations almost like Charles Leno, where it was kind of pretty obvious that he wasn't going to be the starter there, and the Bears kind of did him a favor by cutting him and giving him opportunity to sign elsewhere. I mean, obviously, I think we all know that the dream here is that a solid veteran linebacker kind of is given that, you know, tap on the shoulder. Hey, you know, we love what you've done for us. You're a veteran, you know. We think that, you know, you can still be successful in this league, just not with whatever team it is, Titans, Steelers, whoever it may be. You know, we'll give you an opportunity in free agency. And that's where I think Ron and Jack Del Rio and this front office would be super excited about snapping up somebody like that.
Yeah, so I think Joe Schobert is on your mind there, Mitch, by saying that the Steelers there. But my next question to you, Pierre Garçon had social media going up in rises because the schedule release was on Friday, and he looked at it and said 2-0 easily looking at this schedule. Do you agree with Pierre?
I do. I predicted 3-0 for the first time since 2005.
Wow.
To open the season. I think obviously the Eagles game is going to be tough, but that was going to be tough whether you played it in week 3 or week 13. It didn't really matter. And I think the fact that you have it at home early in the year, hopefully you can get those Eagles before that offense is really gelled and before, you know, AJ Brown and everyone has kind of figured out their roles. And I think that they're going to be there for the taking in that home game at FedEx. And not that I'm overlooking the Jags or Lions, because obviously the Commanders, Washington Football Redskins, have a history of going out and losing, you know, bad games like that. But I think that the one thing that I've kind of heard from folks around the league about Carson Wentz most is that he's a guy that if you can get him out hot, he'll stay hot. And I think this is the schedule for all the years of, again, Commanders fans and other folks complaining about the league kind of ripping them off and doing them bad and dirty and, you know, back-to-back road games, you know, whatever it's been, 3 road games in a row, tough schedules, this, that, and the other thing. I think the schedule this year is as advantageous as it's been since I've been covering the beat since, you know, 2007 or whatever. I think they have every opportunity to start out hot, start out strong. And I think that they'll at least go out and beat the Jags and Lions. I think they have a real good shot at beating the Eagles and starting 3-0.
Yeah. I mean, I agree when you first glance at it. I mean, of course, anything's possible in the NFL. Some of these teams, I mean, I like what the Jags and Lions have done, but they're still the Jags and Lions, you know? So let's see how that plays out. But one person that everybody seems to kind of be counting out has been kind of Antonio Gibson, it seems like. Ever since Brian Robinson was drafted, it seems like people have a bunch of questions about his role. What kind of role do you think Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson, do you think that they're going to kind of be splitting this load, or do you think it's going to kind of be more of a Peyton Barber type role for Brian Robinson?
I think they're going to be splitting in some regards, but I think it's going to be a little bit closer to the Peyton Barber side of things, where I think Antonio Gibson is still basically your first and second down back. And, you know, certainly the short yardages, but it could be the second and shorts that Brian Robinson kind of comes in. If we're in a situation, you know, mid-season where Brian Robinson is taking the bulk of the carries, it's either he came out and was just a bull in a china shop and was a beast and you can't possibly sit him, or you still have those fumble questions with Antonio Gibson, which are very real questions. And, you know, JP JP Finley had a great comment on Twitter the other day that, you know, you can't leave yards on the field or you can't leave ball on the field. And Antonio Gibson was leaving both. And, yeah, and that's tough. You know, it's like when you're trying to, you know, when you're talking about a girl, you ask your friend, hey, what about her? You know, and he's like, well, she's not really that pretty and she doesn't really have that good of a personality. Okay, like, what are we working with here? So I know Antonio Gibson has a lot of speed and he's played well for the most part, but you got to hold on to the football. And I think the biggest thing with this offense just as a whole is you got to get more big plays. You got to get more plays down the field. You got to get more broken runs. You got to get, you know, the splash plays that turn the momentum of the game and kind of give yourself a, you know, a jolt of momentum early. I think that's the biggest thing this offense missing. And I think that's where Antonio Gibson really, if he can get on the outside a little bit and break one of those big plays, we know he has that speed. We saw the 7+ 70 yard touchdowns he had his senior year at Memphis, both in the air, on the ground, and in the kick return game. He has that explosiveness. We just haven't had an opportunity to see it yet in the NFL.
Right. And this, obviously sticking with this offseason, they gave Scott Turner a little extra couple years on his contract. And a lot of people have been a little critical of him. I guess you can question maybe some of his red zone stuff since he's been here. And the opposite, obviously, argument to that would be, well, he hasn't really had like a legit quarterback to kind of run his offense and do what he wants to do. Do you think this is going to be a good year to evaluate Scott Turner? And what do you expect his offense to kind of look like as opposed to what it's looked like over the past year or two?
I mean, I know fans are frustrated that he got a little more money and got an extension, but he's basically, the money was to put him more in line with the rest of the OCs in the NFL. He was a little bit on the underpaid side. And the extension is all, he and Ron and Carson Wentz and all this are all tied together. Right. If they decide to blow this thing up because it's all gone bad, then the extra years on the contract won't make a difference to any part of it. I think we're going to see an offense that goes down the field a little more. I know that he loves the quick game and the timing game, which is something that Carson can certainly do. He can take that three-step drop, set on his back foot, and get rid of the ball on time with the arm strength to throw it from sideline to sideline, which, you know, Taylor Heinicke came in and did a great job. And his story is incredible, and his heart and his grit and all those things that fans, you know, latched onto and loved about him are all there. I think the biggest deficiency he had was his arm strength and his ability for defenses to cut off the backside of the field, because they knew that he couldn't make a throw to the opposite sideline, to the opposite hat, to the opposite numbers. And they could kind of overload the strong side, knowing that more than likely that's where the ball was going to go. And certainly that's overly simplified, but I think as a general idea, that's kind of, you know, what defenses were doing and looking at when he was on the field. I think you're going to see the ball go downfield a little bit more. I think you're going to see some more double moves. I think you're going to see some more pump and goes. I mean, I think, you know, the core of that offense isn't going to change much. You know, those quick passes and the throws to the quick throws to the receivers and backs and tight ends are the core of the offense. But I don't think that Scott Turner was able to take it to that next level. You know, you look all the time about offenses that, you know, they'll slant a corner to death. They'll spend the first three quarters of a game slanting the same guy over and over. Fourth quarter, slant and go, and the guy's ready to jump at it. But I don't think Scott Turner had the confidence that he was able to take the offense to that next level. Now, I think it's overly optimistic or overly expect. There's a too big of an expectation that Carson Wentz is going to be able to do that immediately. But he's certainly shown the ability to do that, both with arm strength, with footwork, and with, you know, understanding of the game. So I think we'll see kind of that offense take the core will stay about the same, but we'll see it take that next step.
Yeah, and Reed had alluded to it, a question regarding Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson's usage and how they're going to be using him. But my whole thing here, Mitch, is what happens with J.D. McKissic? Because he was that third down back. He was a great pass blocker, which Brian Robinson is very capable of, and he could catch out of the backfield. What do you expect out of J.D. McKissic this season with the addition of Brian Robinson?
I hope Brian Robinson is the real deal, and I hope he's a great running back. The pick didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and I won't sit here and say that I actually thought it was a good pick. Okay. Now, if he goes out and turns into, you know, Derrick Henry, then I'll eat my words, I'll eat my hat, I'll be happy to watch it all. I think with the offense that you're looking at right here, I like the combination of Gibson and McKissic. Mm-hmm. I think they felt like they had to make a move in the running back world because of both the fumbles, yards left on the field, and the injuries that Gibson has shown over his first two seasons. And I don't think J.D. McKissic's job is going to change much. I think he's going to be your third down passing down back. I think he's going to be your change of pace back. I think when you look at, you know, I think you have Brian Robinson, who's going to be your biggest, most physical back. Then you have Antonio Gibson, who's, you know, a little bit less physical, but has a little more wiggle to him. And then you have J.D. McKissic, who's, you know, your more classic third down receiving back. I, you're not bringing back J.D. McKissic on that kind of deal if you're not planning on playing him at all. So I'd be surprised if we don't see, you know, the classic NFL today, three running back rotation in some capacity. I don't think it's going to be quite as straightforward as, you know, Gibson gets series one and Robinson gets series two back and forth. But certainly, you know, you look at Ron talked about his running backs in Carolina and, you know, riding the hot hand and that sort of thing. And I think it's going to be a fantasy nightmare. Hopefully it's not a nightmare on the field.
Right. And I think that we should nickname them Earth, Wind, and Fire based on how you described them there, Mitch. But to wrap this up, I got a couple more questions for you.
Especially if they go off in September. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there you go, my man. Way to link that up.
Dude, I need to make a mental note of that and give you credit when I use it. That is very good.
Thank you. It's my favorite song of all time. So, you know.
It is a fantastic song.
Great song.
But the schedule release obviously came out, and we talked about you thinking that they could come out 3-0, Mitch. But what is your biggest matchup of the season? Like, not maybe not storyline, but the game you're most excited to watch just based up on the matchup?
Ooh, that's exciting or interesting. I mean, I guess because I think they're going to start out 3-0, I think that Week 4 game in Dallas is going to be a real tester. You guys know what this fan base, what this area is going to be like. If this team starts out 3-0 and is playing well, you know, beats the high flying Eagles in Week 3, there's going to be a ton of excitement. And if they're able to carry that momentum out to Big D and even if they don't beat Dallas, but play them tight and, you know, erase a little bit of that memory, the bad taste in the mouth from last year's, you know, debacle out there, I think that's got to be the game, I guess, that I'm most excited about. But Tennessee coming to town. I'm excited to see Derrick Henry in person. I think that's going to be, you know, that's going to be cool as hell. Obviously, it's always fun to see Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, that whole group. But those are really the games I'm looking forward to.
And I only have two quick ones to wrap this up, Mitch. Cole Holcomb, are you confident that he can play that Mike linebacker spot after the coaching staff has kind of changed their tune?
Nope. Not really. I think that you're going to see similar results that we saw from the middle linebacker position last year, if that's what they end up rolling with. And that's why when we first started this pod, we started talked about some of those veteran linebackers that hopefully will get the, you know, tap on the shoulder and the, you know, the post offseason release, and the Commanders can snatch them up. I think that you're going to have to see a huge step from Jamin Davis or a huge step from Cole Holcomb. And, you know, as optimistic as I want to be about the fact that those guys maybe will be able to take that step, I don't think that Cole is really your prototypical, you know, middle linebacker. And I think that you're almost going to take away some of the asset that he has on the field, and that, you know, he's his speed and his athleticism and all that, and, you know, sticking his nose in there. I honestly wouldn't hate the idea of, you know, of them going out and bringing back Landon Collins if they're able to work out a smaller deal. And, you know, everyone now loves to talk about Buffalo nickel this and Buffalo nickel that, but I mean, you get a little more size on the field and you can still play your two linebackers, and, you know, you still don't have that classic middle linebacker, but, you know, maybe with the addition of Fedarian Mathis and John Allen in the middle, you have a little bit of more bulk up there in the middle on the front. So you don't have to have as much of a, you know, London Fletcher type tackle machine there in the middle of that defense at the linebacker position. So, you know, maybe with that pick, that's a little bit what they're thinking and hoping they can, you know, jam up the middle of that defense a little bit up front. But I don't think they have a real middle linebacker on this roster. And I think that it's a big hole that they've left.
I think the fan base would agree with you a lot, Mitch, but I know how ridiculous this is, but to wrap this up, last one, what do you think that Washington can end with a positive record this season?
I mean, if this is not a record over 500 this year, there's Carson Wentz has to go. You know, there's some real questions that have to be asked. If this team finishes below 500 with, you know, the third place schedule, you know, it's easy to say it now because no one knows how all these teams are going to finish at the end of the year, but it's slated as one of the, you know, one of the easier schedules in the NFL. I continue to say that that's pretty advantageous. Obviously the late bye week kind of hurts, but at the same time you have that Thursday night game right there in week six, which the NFL has been using as kind of a secondary bye, if you will, extended week. And I think you can look at it. There's not really any bad back-to-back, you know, road games, no West Coast travel with East Coast, you know, quick returns. You know, the back end of the season, you know, you have the Giants twice wrapped around your bye week. The bye week is super late in week 14, but you have Houston, Atlanta, and the Giants leading up to it. So even though the guys are going to be beat up, as we look at it today on May 16th, you know, those are three of what seemingly will be the easier opponents on the schedule. I think it's set up pretty well. To me, it's got to be at least 9 wins. And, you know, for it to be a Carson Wentz success story, I think it's got to be 11 or 12 wins. And I don't know that they're going to get there, but for me to be all in on the Carson Express, I think you got to get north of 10 wins for it to be there.
Absolutely, Mitch, and I agree with you about the schedule. It is very favorable, as much as anybody wants to complain about it. But Mitch, before you get out of here, if you'd just like to plug your social media handles, just in case anybody watching, most likely there isn't, but just in case anybody watching wants to come follow you on Twitter.
I appreciate Twitter and Instagram at Mitch_Tischler. Thanks for having me, boys. It's been fun.
Of course. Thank you so much, always. Mitch. Enjoy your week, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Mitch. Later,
guys. Thanks, Mitch. Yep. I like how honest he is. You know?
Everybody, everybody that we talked to is just like, yeah, no, Cole, I think he can. He'll be fine. It was just so funny. Nope.
No.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, hey, he's honest, man.
Yeah. Absolutely honest. And before we get in, we are going to do a full breakdown of the schedule. We're going to have our predictions for the season. I know we all know how ridiculous that is looking at it in May. We don't know what's going to happen with injuries. You never know what can happen in the season. So obviously it's stupid to do it, but we're going to do it anyway, because why not? It's the Burgundy Zone. But before we do that, let's answer a fan question. Then we have our segment coming back for the first time in 2022. Story time, baby. And we're going to start that off with Reed. But before we do that, I'm just tripping over myself right now. We have a question from the Colonel Hall, and this one goes to you. Our offensive weapons, including Carson Wentz, look like the strongest to me in a long time. Is there anything missing on offense? Example, guard, tackle depth that may be our Achilles heel.
Oh, that's a good question. As far as the starters go, I would say I like where they're at as far as, like, obviously they brought in Carson Wentz. You draft Jahan Dotson, didn't trip up on his name this time. Curtis Samuel being healthy is going to be a huge piece. Obviously, we just talked about the running back room. So I definitely like the offense and where it's at. Obviously, they got to put everything together. They got to gel. And obviously, Scott Turner's got to call some plays and put guys in position. But with that being said, if I had to nitpick, I guess I would say wide receiver depth, just because obviously you got the top three guys and you got Cam Sims. But after that, it's kind of like, who's going to be that fifth receiver? I guess maybe O-line depth as well. But again, like I said, I'm almost nitpicking because, like you just mentioned, Colonel, this is probably the best weapon and the best offensive potential offense we've had since the Kirk Cousins days. So I'm excited to see what it looks like.
Yeah, usually in the past, the offense would be like top heavy. Like you would have like good wide receivers, a good tight end, but then the offensive line would be dreadful. Running backs are not really eye popping. This is the first time in a long time that Washington offensively has weapons and legitimate pieces all around the offense. It really is awesome to see. But to your point, Colonel, I think it's tackle depth. Losing Cornelius Lucas, obviously. What happens if Charles Leno gets nicked up? You know, are they going to kick Cosme to left tackle and then have Sadiq Charles playing right tackle? And that is my concern there, because as much as I love Sam Cosme, as much as I really like Sadiq Charles, I think he's more fit as a guard. So if him playing right tackle, are we now susceptible to having Carson Wentz get hit a lot? And we saw last season that's probably not a good thing. So for me, it's tackle depth. It is something that I am slightly concerned about, but I'm sure Matsko is going to get these guys up and running. What do you think, Reed?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the O-line, I mean, after we saw what happened last year, I mean, they definitely played well as they could, but that was very frustrating. But I'm going to go with, and this might not be popular, but I'm going to go with receiver, and here's why. Last year, I thought our wide receiver core was set. I was so pumped. Curtis Samuel got hurt. All of a sudden, it was just like, it was dreadful to see. But I will say, obviously, on paper, everything should be fine. We should be good. But the Curtis Samuel injury has to scare you a little bit. Jahan Dotson, as much as I like him, he's unproven. We don't know what he's going to be. And other than that, I mean, there's not a lot of people out there. Deami Brown's unproven too, to be honest. So other than really Terry and then Dotson and Brown's potential. And I mean, as long as Curtis Samuel stays healthy, like you maybe want to add another guy or two that you can feel confident can go in there if Curtis Samuel can't go, if one of these young guys doesn't pan out, because that could happen. Will it? Probably not. But, you know, I just want to be different. So.
I got you. Now let's move on to story time, Reed, and let's start it with you. This can be recent. It doesn't have to be because obviously a lot of things have changed over the past year. We had story time last year. So do you got something new for us, Reed?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, you know those stories, like those events in your life that happened maybe when you were younger that kind of keep you up at night, like you're laying in bed and all of a sudden you get hit with those thoughts and you're like, why did I do that? And you just get secondhand embarrassment and you keep thinking about why could we do it. I have a lot of those. That's like a theme in my life. Like, as we remember the infamous airport crying story. Yeah. This is another one where I was a fully grown man and I look back on it and I was just like, why? So I am terrified of needles and getting my blood drawn. I am just like the feeling somebody sucking blood out of you. Like, I don't care about those kids that need it anymore. You know, like I don't want these people to steal my blood and start doing some black magic around it. All of a sudden I'm screwed for the rest of my life. I don't know what they do with it.
Why has it got to be black, bro?
Well, that's just what it's called though. But you know, so I had to go get blood drawn. I had to go get blood work. And so I go to my doctors, and keep in mind, this is not that long ago, man. I was with Lindsay at this point. So that was, God, it was within the last like 4 years, 4 or 5 years. I go in there and I let them know ahead of time. I'm like, I hate this. Like, I'm sorry that I'm going to be jittery. I'm going to be like a little nervous. So they're like, all right, it's okay. Just relax. I'm like, I know that's a lot easier said than done. I do it and I'm trying to relax. They're like, relax your veins. And I'm trying. I'm really trying. I can't do it. So, of course, I can't find anything here. They have to go here. They have to go to my hand. At one point, and I swear to God, there's the sweetest woman, and her name was Gina. She was just trying to calm me down. But at some point, after like 45 minutes, she was getting frustrated because I was like, no, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. And so at one point, they're trying to distract me. And she goes to stick my hand, and I mule kicked her frontwards. And I was instantly like, I am so sorry. That was a reaction. And she was about to give up. Finally, I relaxed a little bit and they somehow got it. But she was like, I am going to tell everybody who comes in here that a nearly 30-year-old, 220-pound man was that terrified of needles and getting his blood drawn that out of reaction, he kicked me. And that is something I am ashamed of. I'm not that scared of him anymore. I can go there. I get shots all the time, you know. Completely fine with needles. I can get blood drawn. It sucks, but I'm cool about it. But I guess that's what having a kid does to you, because you don't want to look like a little beta.
Right.
In front. So that's
fantastic. It does not surprise me one bit that you'd be terrified of needles.
I talk a big game, but I'm not as tough as I look. Yeah. So
my story is from my bachelor party that we had a couple years ago. I haven't talked about it just because of all the shenanigans that went on that weekend, but man, was it a great time. So a couple of my friends decided to take some substances, consume them, that have psychedelic effects to it, right? And not everyone had the best time, you know? So we're outside, we're drinking, we're having fun on the deck, we're just talking out in the front porch, having a good time. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Ty runs out of the house, and he's like, Kyle, I called the cops. Called the cops? I was like, call them back. Tell them not to come. What are you talking about?
You can't just do that, though, by the way, Kyle. That's not how it works. You know how many domestic abusers Charles, would be like, hey, never mind. Shoot, don't come. They'd be like, all right, sir.
I was not in the right mind. It was just my initial reaction, because I was like, this is not, they cannot come here. If what they will find here, we will not be here tomorrow morning. You know what I'm saying? So they cannot come here. But that was an insane night. I remember him getting naked at one point.
I remember.
I was like, Ty, put your underwear back on, please. And, like, because he stripped all the way down, was pulling his boxers, like, no, please put them on back on. And then literally James came through, walking to the door 2 minutes later. And I was like, I just saved you, bro. I just said, you have no idea what you're about to walk into. But my favorite part about that weekend is TJ, who like does this stuff all the time. And I remember I was flipping out. Ty was flipping out over there. I was trying to make sure Ty was okay. And here comes TJ getting ready for bed. I said, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Like it was a normal Saturday night for him.
Right.
It's like the craziest thing.
I remember, I will say, I have never felt so bad for somebody than I did in that moment. Like, I kept going downstairs to check every once in a while because I know that feeling. That sucks. And I remember just being like, bro, I wish there was something I could tell you. There's not. You just got to ride this one out, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I stayed down there with him for a pretty long time. And then
Meanwhile, Hall's passing out just on tables in the back of chairs.
That was the funniest part about the weekend, is that Hall, with no head support. I remember at one point on Friday, he was like asleep on a chair with no head support. Like it didn't have an end. So I got up and I was like, Hall, please sleep right here. And he was like, nah, dog, I'm good.
There's a perfectly good recliner at one point. Right. It was just wide open.
And then when he passed out in front of the front door, and like literally tens of people walked by him, and he didn't wake up. They would move him every time so they could get in. Just passed out. What about you? What's your story, Hall?
To be fair, I don't even know if Hall's alive right now. This might be a clone of him, because
honestly, I might be just like sleep talking. Who knows? I don't know. But this is like a recent story. It just happened actually on Saturday. So I don't know if everyone's aware. Like, I don't even like ever get on Snapchat anymore. But my girl's on Snapchat, and like, there's like that little what's it called? What's the face thing's called again?
FaceTime.
The filter. There's a new filter on there, and it's like the Jordan crying face. I just make
the sad one.
Like everyone's like, So I was like, she was on the couch and I'm like in the kitchen, like 15, 20 feet away from her, just looking at my phone, not paying attention to what she's doing. Apparently she's on the couch and she's like eating a piece of pizza and like got the filter on and it's like crying, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I just let one rip, like, so nothing, like I said, I'm not even paying attention to anything that she's doing. I'm just like, kind of laughing at myself. Sick. 30, 45 minutes passes by. I'm upstairs, like changing my clothes, getting ready to go out somewhere with her. And she just like walks in the room, just like dying, laughing, just like red in the face, just like laughing her ass off. And I'm just like, what is so funny? And she's like, and then all of a sudden I get a notification on my phone. It's like, Courtney has tagged you in a post. I'm like, oh, let me see what this is. I go on Facebook, and sure enough, it's the video of her eating the pizza and like crying, and I'm not even in the video, nowhere to be found. And at the end of the video, you just hear a bang, and then
I was dying laughing on Saturday night when I saw that video.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I was like, damn, that made it into the video. Like, I was actually kind of proud of myself that I got depth and like volume on that.
I was about to say, so it was a good one.
Yeah,
it was a good one.
It was a healthy one. Is that the best way to say it?
That's the way to do it, too. I feel like if I did that, because I always keep having these little beta farts that are just like, like James has mainlinear farts to me, and he's one, and like it just happens all the time. Like I'm like, oh, like trying to respond to somebody who just had a cool fart. Like I'm trying to like fit in, and they're like, and I'm like, oh yeah. And they're like, what? And I'm like, that doesn't happen ever. That's weird.
I don't think competing with flatulence over there, Reed, I don't think that actually happens.
Very self-conscious about it. No, yeah, I am. So I always have to prove myself, and it always backfires.
When we first started this podcast, some of the funniest moments we had on here was Reed farting, in the middle chairs when we were recording.
Yeah, it sounded, those were like gunshots. That was back when I could fart with anybody. Those were cool.
Yeah. I could fart.
That was like that one time I got hurt when I pulled my back farting. I was like on the IR for a little.
That reminds me of the story I'm gonna have for Friday. Oh my goodness, that's perfect. But we are waiting to be joined by our second guest here, Emmanuel Chaguba. Our good friend is joining us from the Back Row Commanders show to break down this schedule for you guys this upcoming season. But let's start it off, guys, and I'll start this with you, Hall. Let's go to week one, facing the Jacksonville Jaguars and Brandon Sheriff's reunion versus the Washington Commanders. How do you think that matchup's going to go, Hall?
Yeah, so we kind of talked about it a little bit on Friday, how obviously a lot of people just assume that, like, oh, even though the Jaguars got a little bit better, Detroit got a little bit better, everyone just kind of assumes, like, kind of just like people assume, like, our team, like, oh, it's just Washington. Like, we're just like, oh, it's just Jacksonville. Like, we got this. Like, they've had the number one pick the past 2 years. Obviously, like I said, they've upgraded. They have like an actual like head coach now, not just like a guy that likes to go out like after the games and like get ripped at the bar and like fill up on nice young college women. But
that's Jake Gruden.
No, but I definitely think that I think it's gonna be closer, a lot closer than people think. I do have us winning that game, but I think it'll be one of those games where Jacksonville might be up in the first half, and then all of a sudden we come back in the second half, come down to the fourth quarter, and we kind of just pull away then. Maybe like a 3-5, 7-point win, but it'll be a close one. But I have us winning that week one game.
Yeah, this is a really tough matchup. We saw that. I mean, you could go back a year ago and listen to us talk about the Chargers, and we knew that the Chargers were good, but we didn't think that they were elite level, ready to compete in the playoff level team. Well, we were obviously disproven of that in the first matchup. We were blown away by what the Chargers were able to do this defense. It made them look completely horrible. It didn't look like they should be a pro team. So this year is going to be very tricky going against another new coach to a team with Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence, who is the quarterback guru like you like to talk about, Reed. So it's going to be an intriguing matchup, but I do think that Washington is going to take away with the W here. I think that they have – what we talked about the offensively, that's their biggest issue with this football team is offensively. Can they get it clicking? Defensively, I think it's going to be easier for them to start gelling and meshing because this is basically the same defense from last season under Jack Del Rio. The offense getting Carson Wentz, adding another new quarterback in there, that's probably going to take a little bit longer. So I think the offense, this is going to be a big, big test for them, but they are going to be, they have lesser competition go against the Jacksonville defense than our defense does facing the Jacksonville offense, if that makes sense. So I feel like we are better set for that game than Jacksonville is. I think Washington does win that. They get a W week one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that we do, but the Jags are not a team that you really got to, you can really take lightly. I know that they had the number one pick the last 2 years, but bringing Doug Peterson in, look, Doug Peterson had tremendous success with Carson Wentz. And really, if you think about it, Trevor Lawrence is almost similar to Carson Wentz in the fact that he's big, he's athletic, he's got a strong arm, he can make plays outside of the pocket. And if you go back and watch him last year, I keep saying it, but I know his stats were bad, but that dude made some unreal plays. He was just in a terrible environment with a person who was unfit to be a head coach, and the locker room was toxic. I mean, his head coach was kicking kickers and stuff.
Dude, isn't the kicker suing now? He's
Josh Lambeau.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too. And it's just he's getting into fights with receivers and stuff, but they've made improvements on their offense. I really expect Trevor Lawrence to take a big step forward because the guy is a legit prospect. He was coming out. He's still got all the tools. But, yeah, we should win this game. Like you said, Kyle, I think their offense is going to have a way tougher time going up against our defense than our offense should have against their defense. At the same time, I could see us starting slow. Like you said, especially Hall, maybe getting down early and then coming back in the second half and being like, what are we doing? Why are we down to this? What are we doing? And getting that W. But as of right now, yeah, I think that we should win, but they can't be taken lightly. Really, the next two games can't.
No, they can't. And before we move on to the Giants game week two with our breakdowns of that, We are now joined by our second guest, Emmanuel Chaguba of the Back Row Commanders Show. Thank you for joining us again, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Yes. We can hear you perfectly fine. We just broke down the Jacksonville game. We all kind of think that that is a W, ready for Dub City. Do you agree with that?
I agree, man. We're going to get after Trevor Lawrence, and it's going to be a measuring stick on how good this defense can be. If you can't dominate a team like Jacksonville with Brandon Sheriff, without Brandon Sheriff, we got an all-pro caliber guy on the inside that should be able to give Brandon Sheriff some fits. So if we can't win this game or make it tough for the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's going to be a long season. So I do agree with you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then moving on to the Lions, which is going to be a 1 o'clock game, which is dominated with this on September 18th at 1 p.m. going against the Lions Hall. Do you think that Washington will start 2-0?
Yeah, I think they can. Like, obviously my heart is saying yes. My brain is kind of like, yeah.
My mind is telling me no. Right? Right, guys? Sing yeah, it.
Exactly.
We're but not doing R. Kelly anymore.
He's a nice guy. Good guy.
I definitely think that, again, this is going to be just like the week one matchup. One of those teams where they've upgraded during the offseason. A lot of I know last year I think they had like five or six games where they were like one score games pretty much, like a touchdown or less when they lost the game. So definitely a team that scraps, likes to fight. They bite kneecaps off. No Jameson Williams there is going to be probably a plus for us because he's definitely a game breaker. Again, I definitely think that it's going to be a tough game, probably another one of those back and forth. But I think we pull away, another close game, but I think we do start 2-0.
I think this might be the one that they take the L in. And the reason why I say that is just because of like the schedule breakdown and where I think the record is going to come out. But if like just straight up Washington versus Detroit basis, just looking at it in a vacuum, I think Washington is a better team. They're better equipped. They're better built. I know Dan Campbell has done a really good job building up that Lions team. And maybe Jared Goff does light it up a little bit. This is the first time that we're facing Detroit since Dwayne Haskins won his first career game here with Washington. And we play them well, but the issue for me is it's in Detroit. That's a hostile place to play in. And if Jared Goff gets running, gets going early, I find it hard that they'll be able to come back from that. Looking at a vacuum, I think Washington will win, but just based on how I think the schedule lays out, I think they will lose this game. So I have them starting out 1-1. What about you, Manny?
I'm hoping that they win. I don't know if they win, and this is why. People, you look at the Lions, right, and you're saying, oh, it's the same old Lions. This Lions offense could potentially be better than Washington's.
That offensive line is crazy.
Yeah, that offense.
The offensive line is sick, right? I mean, tons of first-rounders, tons of Pro Bowlers. In terms of Pro Bowl caliber guys on that offensive line, you have DeAndre Swift, who I think is one of the better young backs in the league. If you love Jonathan Taylor, you got to love DeAndre Swift. He's going to take a whole nother step. The wide receivers, you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the better slot wide receivers in the league. You have DJ Chark. You have TJ Hockenson, one of the best young tight ends in the league, who's being coached by a tight end. So I'm not looking at this matchup saying, oh, it's going to be a win. Now, I'm hoping this is a true test for the defense. Yes, it's a young offense. Yes, you know, Jared Goff is this and that. But the last time Jared Goff had weapons, he did make it to the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, I know the systems are different, but the talent is there. Right. Look at the Cooper Kupp before he became Cooper Kupp. Look at Amon-Ra St. Brown. If Jameson Williams plays, it makes it even interesting. But I'm glad, like Hall says, he's not playing. But I think we can either come out 1-1 or 2-0. I'm hoping we win.
Right. Yeah. And I think you're 100% right. I feel like one of these two games has the potential to be a trap game, because I do think that both of these teams are really, despite having would have had the first or second pick this past year. I mean, I do think that they are both on the rise. I mean, like you talk about, if Jameson Williams is playing, I think that this would be a lot more dangerous. But still, like you said, they got fantastic playmakers, though, line. They got some good young pieces on defense, too. And they got a lot to prove. And last time we played them, though, that was the that was when Matthew Stafford, when Chase Young had that dumb penalty against Stafford.
Thank you.
And,
Thank you.
That's when that was.
No, I'm pretty sure.
No, we lost because Stafford threw a game winning touchdown.
Am I missing a game?
I think so. Yeah. But either way, I mean, we've struggled against Detroit, but I do think we should win this game. We should. After all, you can't spell Lions without an L, you know, otherwise it would just be Ion. And I don't know what that means. That doesn't mean anything. So, I think we should win this game. But in reality, we'll probably lose one of these two, but I'm going with a W, because you can't spell Washington without a W.
That's right. How much I disrespect Detroit. I didn't even remember that game with Chase Young in it. But, you know, I just wanted
to say, nice place.
Washington was 4-5 on the road last season. So that is an area that they're going to have to get better in. So we got to be trepidatious about it. But we got 20 minutes to wrap this up, guys. So what we'll do is I'll change this up a little bit. What we'll have is we'll have one person break down the game, and then the rest of us will just give if we think it's a win or a loss, if that's straight with you. So let's go with Philly. Week 3, this is a 1 o'clock game. This is at home, Manny. Want to break down this game for us?
Okay, Philly at home versus Washington is going to be, you know, Carson Wentz seeing his ex for the first time once again, and he don't know how he's going to feel. Is the crowd going to love him? Is the crowd going to hate him? Without Carson Wentz, they don't get that Super Bowl.
Yeah, we know where Philly's going with that. Those people, they're good people, nice people. But
I know, right? Brotherly love, right? But I think this game is going to be tough. Jalen Hurts has all the weapons. You have A.J. Brown, who, oh, my goodness. Our corners better come ready to play because A.J. Brown is a beast. And then, but where I think we have the advantage is I don't trust Philly's run offense. And if our run defense can just make it tough for Philly and make Jalen Hurts a runner and not a passer, I think we come out maybe with a dub. But I think that's going to be a tough, tough matchup on the road. Philly, you can never predict these NFC East games. It can go either way.
Yeah, I think Washington gets a W here. I think they get their revenge for last season with the COVID game and everything like that. This will be the first time that the Commanders are facing A.J. Brown in his career. The last time that they played him was 2018. That was the year before he was drafted. Do you think this is a win, Reed?
This is another one of those. It could go either way. Generally, when I'm looking at the schedule, I'll do half and half just from the division games because you never know. But, yeah, Philly's dangerous. Jalen Hurts, I don't think he's there yet, but he could give us fits. I could see with his running ability, but I'm gonna go with Manny. I'm a glass half full kind of guy, so I'm gonna go. Yeah, hey, we are gonna win this game, gang, and we're gonna feel good about it. Carson Wentz is gonna throw for probably like 1,000 yards. I think I heard.
So according to Reed, we're starting 3-0, which we would absolutely love. Do you agree?
And we all cry.
Yeah, I actually do think that Manny said, Carson Wentz goes back to Philly for the first time, and he's gonna hear from the crowd. I think he's going to quiet the crowd up really, really quick and early, get out to a fast start. 3-0.
My man, I like it a lot. Now, Hall, let's keep it with you. Week 4 against Dallas on October 2nd, 1 o'clock. It's at home. What do you think?
This is going to be the tester right here. Obviously, it's going to be a lot of hype around them. If they start off 3-0, Dallas more than likely will be 2-1, 3-0 at that point. It's in Big D. It's going to be one of those high-intensity type games. Unfortunately, I do think it's not going to be like the beatdowns that we got last year. I think we're going to keep it close, but I think eventually Dallas just takes over. I think their defense kind of makes one play in the fourth quarter and the second half, fourth quarter, whatever it may be, to kind of get up on this offense. And I definitely think we take the L. It'll be a close one, but we take the L.
This one's actually away. I'm sorry, I'm reading it incorrectly. So this is in Dallas on October 2nd at 1 o'clock. And did you say you have them winning?
No, they're going to be 3-1.
They're
going to
be 3-1. Okay, I agree with you that they will be 3-1, but because I have the L going to Detroit, I have them getting the W. This is their revenge for last season. I don't want to talk about that game and that point total. That was disgusting. I have them winning. What about you, Reed?
I want to say that we would be 4-0, but no, I got us losing this one just because 4-1 or 3-1 seems like a pipe dream, and Dallas is good.
We're not losing to Dallas. What about you, Manny?
I think we lose. And this is why. I hate Dallas. Obviously, you know, you want to beat Dallas, but I don't think we win this one. I think it's going to be so, so tough. That defense did improve. The offense did not. You know, losing Amari Cooper is losing Amari Cooper. So that's where we have that slight edge. You know, I think that we'll have enough on defense to keep up with their offense. But on the defensive side, Micah Parsons and pass rush, can we protect and keep Carson Wentz upright? I think Dallas pulls off a close win in the fourth quarter by field goals.
Absolutely. I'm going to break down this Tennessee game October 9th at 1 o'clock at home facing the Tennessee Titans. Last season, Dallas, Green Bay, and Tennessee were 17-8 on the road. This is going to be a very tough matchup for Washington. They're a big group, Tennessee is. They're going to want to inflict their will, but this is going to be without A.J. Brown. And Treylon Burks, I saw yesterday, couldn't make it through practice without taking a rest day because of how hot it was. So I'm kind of worried about that wide receiving core. But that being said, it's a great defensive unit. I think that this is going to be a loss for the Washington Commanders just because I feel like the Tennessee Titans are like the older brother in like in scoping of the team, of the foundation building, the structure of it. I feel like we're trying to build into Tennessee, if that makes any sense. So I think this is the L coming. So they start the season 3-2 in my eyes. What do you think, Manny?
Yeah, I think it's an L. You guys know I live in Nashville. I see the Titans a lot. I know a lot about the Titans. They are a really, really good team. Even, I mean, they had the best record in the AFC last year, right? Mm-hmm. Number one seed. So that's a team that we aspire to be. And I think that this is just going to be too much Tennessee, too much Derrick Henry for us to overcome. And I think the Titans come out with it.
What do you think, Reed?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Tennessee's Tennessee right now. So
we all have them going 3-2, or do you think they win, Hall?
Yeah, I got them 3-2. I will say, like, a little tidbit. A lot of people that whenever the Jahan Dotson pick came down, everyone, a lot of people were like, well, Treylon Burks is on the board. I want a Treylon Burks. I think Jahan Dotson goes off in this game and kind of shows people that, like, this was the right guy at 18 or 16, and we picked the right guy at receiver. I think we still do take the L because King Henry's going to go crazy on us, I think. But I think it'll be, like I said, 3-2. We're going to take the L.
All right.
Real fast, I know we got to hurry, but remember what people were saying about Jamar Chase last summer? About Jamar Chase couldn't catch one. Look at him lighting the league on fire. So there's still hope for Treylon Burks. It's one practice, but it's funny that he's fat. Fat people are funny.
It just means he was enjoying himself this offseason. But yeah. So, Reed, why don't you break down this next game for us? This is Thursday Night Football, the Charles Leno reunion in Chicago on Thursday Night Football. How do you think it breaks down?
Against the Bears, that's a W. The Bears are literally like the only team I could think of that did not make any improvements. I mean, that they've gotten worse. That wide receiver room is atrocious.
It's easy to say that they are sabotaging, right? Like they're going for the number one overall pick.
And it's just like, come on, guys. But that's a W. I like Justin Fields. I feel bad for him that he's in that situation. But I don't know how the Bears just decided that they were going to just straight go defense in the draft, and they have so many holes and they need to help their franchise quarterback. I'm going to go with the W on that one.
I agree with you. Justin Fields was sacked 36 times last season, and like you said, they didn't do much to upgrade the offensive line. I think that our defensive line goes ham. What do you think, Manny?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think this is a game that we go after Justin Fields, make him look crazy. And I don't feel sorry for the Bears. They have no wide receivers. We did the exact same thing in Washington for how many years? Darnell Mooney is the next Terry McLaurin in terms of the ascension of becoming somebody. So I don't feel sorry for them. It is what it is. Hey, you know, you got to go through that growing pain. So Washington comes out with a big win versus the Bears at the Bears.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I totally agree. I definitely think this will be one of the bigger, better wins for this team, not as far as like the opponent wise. I just think that they're going to run the score up on the Bears. Like you said, no improvements. I think this is the Montez Sweat game. He goes crazy. W, 4-2.
Absolutely. The next now is week 7, the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is coming to town. I think Washington actually gets the W here. And the reason for that, Aaron Rodgers is 0-3 in Washington, not including the playoffs that we know that they lost that wild card matchup against them. That being said, they took away Devontae Adams. They drafted Christian Watson. This is a good team led by one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But for some reason, it's just one of those things like Pokemon cards. Like when you got fire against water, for some reason, water just works really well. And for some reason, that's Washington against Aaron Rodgers. I think Washington finds a way to win that football game, and we get the W there. And that would make them going 1, 2, 3, 4. That would be 5-2 starting the season. What do you think, Manny?
I agree. I think Washington comes out with a big smash mouth win. Green Bay's offense is not as good, so I'm excited for this matchup. Actually, Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT, right? One of the GOATs. Let's see what he can do with lesser wide receiver talent. Washington.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of you guys. Look, I understand that we've beat them before Aaron Rodgers has struggled here, but it's still Aaron Rodgers. I could see this. And plus, as much as I want to, I just don't see us being 5-2 at this point. Like, I want to say it, but I think
new name
is too good.
New name, bro.
I know. Hey, new name. No, I feel you for that. But no, Green Bay is still Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. Their defense is still good.
So you have them going 4-3 to start the season. Do you agree with Reed Hall?
I am going to – this is where me and Reed, we was going on the same road. We're splitting off right here. I think that we do get this.
Hey, guys.
I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Yeah, Green Bay's defense. Green Bay's defense is the truth. They just locked up Jair Alexander today. But, I think it's a low-scoring game, but we come away with the W.
Absolutely. Reed, why don't you break down this next game? This is the Carson Wentz revenge game against the Indianapolis Colts. Jim Mersay, Chris Ballard, they're shaking in their boots with the 5-2 Washington Commanders coming to town on 4/25 on October 30th. Break down this game.
On paper, Washington. We should look. The Colts were fantastic last season. People forget they were the best team in the NFL for a while last season. I mean, just win after win after win. And I think that they got the quarterback that they wanted to play the type of football that they wanted. However, and they shoot me every year, a team beats a team that they shouldn't beat. I really think Carson Wentz is going to go in there. Carson Wentz is pissed. They're still talking about it. They're going to be talking about him leading up to this game. They're literally Jim Irsay is probably on syrup, and he's just talking about Carson, can't get him out of his mouth. Chris Ballard just uses him as a doormat and excuse. Their defense is good. Of course, we know Jonathan Taylor, they got the weapons, but I think we're going to come in there, and Ron Rivera is probably sicker than talking about this too. You think Ron Rivera is not going to have us up for this game, ready to go? We're going to go out there, and this is going to be the surprise W of this season.
Yeah, and I think that Washington wins just because that Jim Irsay video that you uploaded the other day of him singing on a train, I think that was the biggest
I thought he was pooping when I first saw that. Like, I was like, this guy really uploaded this. He's high again.
Weird video. So I think Washington wins this game, and they are in through week 8 sitting at 6-2. What do you think, Manny?
I think it's a win for Washington. It's going to be I think that's going to be like the turn of the season, a big win going, you know, potentially 6-2 after that point. I think that Carson Wentz is going to have his best game of the season to this point. Versus Yep. You're going to see him go for 350 yards passing, 3 touchdowns and no picks.
Man. So imagine real fast, Washington beats Green Bay, then the Colts after that. Like you guys said, that would be, those are some trademark W's.
What do you think, Hall?
I want to say get the dub, but I'm probably hopefully going to be going to this game, and I have like a horrible record of like them always losing when I go to games.
Don't go
for that fact.
Yeah, don't go. What are you doing?
I know. I probably shouldn't, but I probably will. Yes. They're going to be 5-3. I think it's going to be a close game. They take the L.
All right, Manny, this next game is against the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins comes back to FedEx Field. How do you think this game breaks down? It's a 1 o'clock game on November 6th.
It's going to start out like this. He's going to come out on the field and say, you like that? You like that? And I'm telling you, it's going to be a high-scoring game. Minnesota might come out with the win just because their offense is dynamic. Thielen is still a dog. We all know about Justin Jefferson, what he does. And they have some younger wide receivers. I think we come out and lose in a close game to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins gets the best of us at FedEx.
I agree with you. I think this is a high-scoring game, and Washington just falls a little bit short. And up until this point, they would be 6-3. What do you think, Reed?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I could see it going either way. Like you said, their offense is very explosive, but it's just Kirk. We're going to beat Kirk, and he's going to go back, and he's going to start grilling with his dad shoes on and his apron, and you know, it's a mighty white of him. And we got to win this.
And his well-done steaks.
Yep, yeah. I guarantee it. I would put money that he overcooks them.
Oh, he does. He said that he likes them like that way.
We'll see. Yeah, no, I knew that probably, though. I figured.
He's a cook one for Sam Howell.
Win or loss, Hall?
I'm going to go. This is their first back-to-back loss of the season.
Oh, you just caught. Your mic just cut out, dude. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, it did. I'm sorry. All right, now let's move on to the next game, which is a Philly, the Monday Night Football matchup. That prime time Washington under Ron Rivera. I think they are 3-2 on prime time, which is honestly a fresh breath of air given with this Washington team over the past couple years on prime time. Reed, break down this game for us. Do you think Washington gets a W?
So we all had them winning week 3, and I know that it's, you know, I mean, you can't just be like, oh, we had them win, so let's have them lose. But I mean, prime time, that we should win. We could easily win, but Philly. People forget Philly's a good team. Philly really, I like what they did on defense. I mean, adding AJ Brown is huge. They got a lot of playmakers over there on offense. And unfortunately, just because we won last time, I'm going to say we're going to lose this one, guys. Don't kill me. So I'm going to go with an L there.
I think Washington wins. I think Philly's opponents last season really muffled the numbers and everything. So I don't think they're as good as advertised. I think Washington has their number this season. I said it's 7-0 in the division earlier a couple weeks ago. I still feel the same way. Washington gets a W. Hall, you back?
Yeah, so I had them losing to the Vikings. Like I think that's going to be the game where the game gets out of control, kind of like that Buffalo game last year. They just come out and kind of like mud stomp us for whatever reason it may be. They just come out flat. So I got him at 5-4. This is the Philly game, right?
Yeah.
So Philly game. It's going to be a 3-game losing streak. It's going to be that kind of that tough stretch of the season. I got us taking the L. That puts us at 5-5 for me, I think. Yeah, 5-5. Yeah,
I got us at 6-4.
All right. And then, Hall, if you want to break down this next game, the Houston Texans, Davis Mills.
this is the bounce back game. I just talked about how we got mud stomped by the Vikings. I think that coming off that three-game stretch where we just three-game losing streak, I think that we got the perfect bounce back game. Go down to Houston. Obviously, they got Davis Mills, who's a looks like he can be a pretty.
He's a neck above the competition, right?
That's a good one.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I know, right? He looks like he can possibly be a starting quarterback in the league. Maybe like one of those like lower tier kind of guys that can just like hold the spot before a rookie comes in. But like I said, they have like not a lot of talent on that team. They made a little bit of improvements through the draft, but I got us coming out and just destroying the Texans to go to 6-5.
Yeah, I love Lovie Smith. I think he's a fantastic head coach. And Davis Mills, I loved his cameo in The Land Before Time in Jurassic Park. I thought he was fantastic in those. But I do think this is a W for Washington just because they are the better unit. Houston has put a lot of good pieces together, but I trust Washington's team at this point. I have them going 8-3 at this point, 11 weeks through the season. What about you, Manny?
I agree. I think we're going to come out. We're going to make Davis Mills look silly. We're really going to attack that offense. I think the defense plays well, and it's just the benefit of playing the younger quarterbacks this year opposed to last year playing the GOATs. So this year we play the younger guys, and I think that Davis Mills is next on the list to be feasted on.
And speaking
until Davis Mills grows into his neck, I think it's going to be real tough. I mean, you can see him, he's just walking by, snatching leaves off trees like the giraffe that he is. And I mean, go gadget neck, right? But Houston has no talent.
Brachiosaurus.
The only thing that they have is Davis Mills being able to swallow hot soup and it being cold by the time it hits his stomach. So
ridiculous. Manny, why don't you break down his next game? This is going against Atlanta. This is at home, November 27th at 1 p.m.
So Atlanta's coming back. My very first game was versus Atlanta, and we got blown out. I think this time we repay them. I won't be there, but we're going to repay them this game. I mean, ATL, who do they really have? Marcus Mariota. They have no wide receivers but Drake London. So Kyle Pitts. So this is a game we have to take full advantage of. I think Washington comes out with the dub. This is a win that we desperately need.
Yeah, this isn't a team that really drastically changed since the last time we saw them week 2. Obviously, last season they lost Matt Ryan. Got a little bit worse in that category, but I agree with you. I do think Washington gets a W here. They're 8-3 in my book at this point. Hall?
Yeah, I definitely. I think that due to injury or just bad play or Desmond Ridder will either be in the game by this week or he'll be on the way to becoming a starting quarterback for the Falcons, which means they're going to have a horrible season. It's going to continue with that. We get the W. That puts us.
Kyle, you have them at 9-3, by the way. That's the 12th game.
5.
Oh, my fault. Yeah. I'm not a counter.
It's okay. Yeah, I know. I know. By the way, yes, we should win this game. You got it. Like you said, I could see Kyle Pitts having a big game, but then again, I could see him having a big game against everybody because that guy's a freak of nature and he's very talented. But yeah, we win this game.
Yeah. And now moving on to week 13, the week before the bye, the New York Giants traveling up to New York for a 1 o'clock game on December 4th. How do you think this game's going to shape out, Hall?
Yeah. I said it on Friday or whenever it was when we got talked about the schedule. I think we sweep the Giants. This is the first of that sweep. We come out, we feast on Daniel Jones or whoever's the quarterback at that time. Maybe it's Tyrod Taylor. And yeah, the Giants are the doormat of the division right now. And we're just going to walk right through that door. So we got them at 8-5 for me right now.
A couple weeks ago, I said 7-0 division. Washington gets a W before the bye week heading in. What about you, Manny?
Yeah, Washington should get the dub, but this could be a trap game. This could be one of those games where we expect to win. And we just come out flat right before the bye. Everybody's thinking about their vacation, their time off. So who knows? We should come out with a win, but I'm not holding my breath. That one.
Yeah, we should win. But as we know, Daniel Jones is an MVP candidate against us. So if he's playing, then nobody knows why. It's weird. He sucks against everybody else, but he tears us up. But yeah, I'm going to go with a W here. And I believe that has us 9-4 for me, something like that.
I believe so. And then now we have the bye week. So Washington has another week of preparation for the Giants facing them again in back-to-back games with the bye week in between. Reed, break down this game. Do you think they're going to get back-to-back dubs?
I mean, so this has got to be a huge benefit for us. I mean, basically, we have 3 straight weeks to focus on the Giants. The Giants don't have that for us because they have game in between, and they got to worry about some other division games right before that. So, yes, I know that I usually like to split, but I think that we should win this game as well. But I will say, Giants fans, I do actually like the way that the Giants are building. I do like the pieces that they have in place. If they can go out there and get a quarterback next year, then good for them.
Yeah, and I just want to put this in there. I know I'm really late with it, but Washington hasn't beaten Houston in 16 years. They only play them once every 4 years, but they are 0-3. Last time they played Houston was the Alex Smith injury game, and I'm pretty sure that we all remember that. But I do think that we win against the Giants up to this point in Week 14. So let's move on to Week 15, going against the San Francisco 49ers. I think this is a loss here, just because I have to be realistic. I don't think Washington is only going to lose two or three games this season. But I do think they match up well against the 49ers. We don't know what's going to go on with that quarterback position. Maybe if Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy. Obviously, they were in the NFC Championship game last year. It's a very capable football team. So I do think that Washington loses a close, defensive, really good game for all football fans to watch. What do you think, Reed?
The 49ers either taking a big step back or they're not going to be that good. They weren't that good a couple years ago. It really depends on that quarterback position. But yeah, I'll mark us down for a loss there. I have us at 10-5, but we could win this game.
That's very true. What about you, Manny?
For me, it's simple. If Jimmy G plays, the 49ers win. If Trey Lance plays, we feast and we beat them. So
I agree.
That's pretty much it.
I totally agree with you. I think obviously a lot of that speculation about Trey Lance could just be cannon fodder. You know, we don't know what's
it's
really
fake.
Going on there.
It's fake.
Yeah.
He's the truth, but we're going to feast on him.
I got you. What about you, Hall?
Yeah, I got us going out to San Francisco. It's going to be a hard-fought game, but I think Kyle Shanahan comes away with the win. And I got us at 9-6.
All right, that's good. All right, now, Hulk, start us off with Cleveland.
Yeah, I said this was going to be one I marked on the calendar just because I think this is a great.
This is a New Year's Day game, by the way. So all the college football bowls are going to be pushed to January 2nd. So this is New Year's Day at 1 o'clock at home against the Browns and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, so probably
maybe against Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun will be there back from his suspension. So you're going to have Deshaun, that high-flying offense with Nick Chubb and the running backs, and that defense with Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward back there. So definitely think this is going to be a great test for us. I got us taking the L. I just think Deshaun Watson is too good. And, yeah, I got us at 9-7 after that one.
Yeah, just because of where it is in the schedule, I do think it is an L. Just based on later in the season, Deshaun Watson is going to have time to get acclimated with his team. It's a good running football team. I do think it's an L up until this point. So the Washington, I have them at 11-5. What do you think, Manny?
I think we lose this game. I think the Browns are just too talented on offense. They're too talented on defense. They are a Super Bowl contending team, in my opinion. So I think it'll be too much Deshaun Watson, too much Nick Chubb, too much offense for our defense.
Yeah, unlike Deshaun, I don't think we're going to rub this one out. You know what I'm saying? I got them being as 10-6. But, hey, this could also go another way where maybe Deshaun doesn't maybe Cleveland is a wreck and they're struggling to find wins before Deshaun's able to come back. And he's just like, hey, you know, I'll just wait a little bit. You know, if that's the case, we win. But they're too talented. 10-6.
Absolutely. And then Manny finishes off with Week 17 going against the Dallas Cowboys. We don't know the exact date. It's either on the 7th or 8th of January. I do think this will probably get bumped to primetime just because this is at home. This is always a great matchup and could be leading to playoff contention. So what do you think happens Week 17 to finish the season?
This is the biggest game of the season. We probably need this game to clinch something or to get into the playoffs or to get a first-round bye. I don't know. It's going to be a very important game. I think that we win this game. I don't know how, you know, whether it's offense, defense, but I think this is a must-win. I think the biggest game of the season, we come out with the win.
Hey, maybe Dallas is already clinched if that's how it is because they got just as easy of a schedule, then we'll win. So, you know what? I'm going to go with a W here just because I'm not going to lose to Dallas twice. But yeah, hey, what a happy ending getting to play the Browns and then Dallas at the end of the year. Yeah, you know?
Absolutely. I want you guys to pay close attention. Look at my mouth. Getting a W against the Dallas Cowboys. We're sweeping them this season. I have them finishing at 12-5.
Love it.
I got them finishing the season off going into the playoffs with a 10-7 record. That means they beat Dallas week 18. It's going to be the biggest game at FedEx Field since 2012, RG3 year, 10 years ago. It's going to be the 10-year anniversary. I was getting a W, going to the playoffs in week 18 against Dallas. And I think that we knocked them out the wild card. and we sneak into the playoffs at 10-7.
Yeah, and just to add a little bit of context to it, Carson Wentz is 4-4 in his career versus Dallas with 14 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Only difference is he's got a lot more playmakers on this offense than he did back in Philly, so I definitely think that'll do well. And one little tidbit I picked up on here, in weeks 10, 13, 16, and 18, Washington's opponents will have an extra 3 days rest because each of those opponents have a Thursday night game prior to Washington's game against them. So they'll have 10 days of rest, and that doesn't happen. Last season, Washington was the only team that had that kind of situation on their schedule. This season, there's now three teams, and that is the Jets, and I forget the other one, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the only one that has that with the Commanders. So obviously, something going on there, but I'm not too worried about it just because they're not traveling far.
Right.
And so look, they can prep all they want. We're still going to punch them in the mouth. Manny, I can't thank you enough for coming on here and joining us with this breakdown of the schedule, brother. Before we get out of here, would you just like to plug your social media handles and your Absolutely. Podcast handles?
Absolutely. You guys can find me on Twitter at Manny Chukwuba. You guys can find me on YouTube, Talking Sports with Manny. And then you guys can check out the pod, the Back Row Commanders Show. I'm everywhere. So appreciate you guys for having me on. Awesome show as always. Appreciate you guys.
I appreciate you taking some time out for us. And you didn't. He's a fantastic fantasy football follow as well. So if you want to get the ups on some stuff, you want like dynasty work, Manny is the guy you want to go to. He's the fantasy guru. All right, everybody, please comment on the section. We'd love to hear your guys' comments and what your thoughts are. Break down this schedule. What do you guys? What is your prediction for the schedule this season for the Washington Commanders? Are we smoking something too much? Are we on par with our predictions? What do you guys think? We want to hear from you. We love you guys. All right, everybody. I'm Kyle.
I'm Hall.
I'm also Kyle. No, I'm not. I'm not Kyle Werner. I don't know who I am. I'm so fine.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on Friday. Have a great week and be safe. Washington football. Woo! Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kyle. I just wanted to say thank you so much for watching. And if you liked what you saw, make sure you hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. That way you get notified when anything new is uploaded to the channel. Also, we just launched theburgundyzone.com. You can go there and find all of our latest news, articles, and the latest episodes that are uploaded. Again, we also have the Discord chat server where all of our VIP folks are in, like Andy Burrows, Scott Hartley, Sergio Martinez is in there as well. Don't miss out on the Discord chat server. Go and check that out. Until next time, everybody, Washington football.